It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are pleased to be joined on the telephone today by District 4 California Senator Marie Alvarado-Gill. She's a Republican who was first elected to the seat in 2022. Senator Alvarado-Gill, thanks for coming back on Motherlode Views.
Of course. One of my favorite opportunities is to talk to our constituents out in the Sierras.
Sounds great. Well, the legislative session is now underway. So what can you tell us about, first off, the committee assignments and the issues that you're really kind of focusing on this year?
Well, I'm very proud that we had some shakeup in leadership in the Senate. As you know, we have a new pro tem Limon. We're very excited about her on the Republican side because her leadership style is collaborative and her communication is impeccable. So I think we're going to be looking at some areas of policy around affordability that we can actually get behind this year, because as you saw, last year the affordability package on the supermajority side was very lackluster.
When you're talking about affordability, what kind of issues do you mean?
Well, big for us in the Sierras, as you know, is insurance. Number one, that my constituents consistently talk to me about. But it really goes deeper than that. It's everything from the cost of gas and energy, your water bill, your PG&E bill. I mean, these are all issues that everyday Californians are wrestling with, and they're looking to their government to solve these issues that have been a crisis for quite some time.
Yeah, what is your thoughts first on the fire insurance crisis? Because that's kind of really impacted a lot of people in your district.
This is an area that constituents have really expressed their concerns. We had an announcement during the session recess where the insurance commissioner put forward a proposal for 38% increase on California FAIR Plan applicants. Now, that is significant. I don't know about you, BJ, but I have not had a 38% increase in pay in a long time. So when we're looking at that level of increase on our fire insurance, now that's pretty existential.
Is there anything that you see that the state could step in and do?
Well, we're starting to rally up our constituents. We've got letters coming in, phone calls, emails. People are really concerned. So what we're committed to doing is putting together some town halls to force the insurance commissioner to hear firsthand the impact on ratepayers on this type of level of increase. Now, at the same time, our small businesses in the insurance sector are suffering as well. So this is an area in California where we have known for years that it is unprofitable to run an insurance company in California. So we have a market that's unstable, and we have solutions that are being put forward that are on the backs of ratepayers. So we're going to push back on that. At the same time, try to come up with healthy solutions for our small businesses, because we need those insurance carriers in California. We need to attract business to California, not push them out of the state.
How about you mentioned electric rates and the rising costs, too? That's kind of a tricky one, PG&E being a private company, but there's a lot of state regulations. What do you think can be done to help people in your district with electric rates?
Well, one of my new assignments is as the vice chair of revenue and taxation. So I'm going to be working with the chair to ensure that anything that comes across our committee desk, that we fully vet it, that we ask those hard questions, and that we ask for any requests for increase in taxes and fees, that they have accountability and transparency for them. Now, my record has shown that I don't support new taxes and fees, so they're going to have to work really hard to convince me that this is going to be good for Californians, because ultimately, we're done giving more money to the government and seeing less and less results.
And I know you recently called for a special session, too, because of the rising gas prices and energy prices, correct?
That's correct. Our caucus got behind the call for action from our constituents. We've been calling for a repeal of the gas tax for years now to deaf ears. And just last week, we heard a proposal on the assembly side around the concept of a mileage tax. Now, I'm going to tell you right away, I mean, this is the concept that I've gotten the most phone calls to my offices on. People are telling us, this is already going to add to the overburdensome cost of living in California. So when you look at a nearly $1.30 in gas tax we pay for every gallon, now the majority of that really does punish working class families, especially those who have to commute out of the area to find a decent paying job, or even those whose business depends on the transport of goods and services. So the mileage tax for us is a no-win. We're pushing back. It's invasive. It's oppressive. And in the Senate, if it ever makes it to the Senate, you're going to see us really fight on behalf of our constituents.
You're representing a rural area. I imagine you have several commuters in your district who travel a long distance to work.
Yes, they do. I mean, I cover 13 counties, as you know, so from the peak of El Dorado County and the Truckee Tahoe Basin all the way down the Highway 99, 395 into Inyo County. So, you know, I can relate to that burden of having to travel by car, you know, fill your gas tank up to get to point A to point B, just to get to work, and then to come home at the end of the day to look at your bank account and say, how am I going to make ends meet at the end of this month?
Have you heard anything at all about how proponents would like to monitor a mileage tax?
You know, I think it's a big, heavy stick. I think this is a threat to the petroleum industry to say, hey, if you don't play ball with us, we're going to smack you around a little bit. But this is the reality. We are losing industry in the petroleum industry here in California. They are leaving. I mean, we have had announcements after announcements of businesses and corporations leaving California because of the regulation, because of the increase in taxes. They're just simply saying it's not good for us to do business in California. So what happens? We in the rural areas suffer because we are losing access to resources, we're losing jobs, and ultimately people are losing faith in their government.
I've heard some Republicans say that they're concerned that gas prices could go to about $8. Do you think that's a possibility? Are you one of those people who thinks that could happen?
I know it's a possibility. And even greater, we've seen this back in the 80s, where there were long lines of cars waiting to access gas at the gas station, at the gas pump, and we just simply did not have the surplus. And so that's a real threat on California in the direction that we're going. Those of us who live through that know that it is a possibility, but it's closer to a reality now. If we don't take drastic measures to claw back some of the regulations on our petroleum industry and invite them back into the state, invite them back to do business here in California, we are going to be seeing those spikes in gas prices.
We need to take a quick break. We're talking with State Senator Marie Alvarado-Gill on this weekend's Motherlode Views. She represents District 4. It covers a wide area of the Sierra Foothills, including Tuolumne and Calaveras counties. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll have our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with District 4 Republican Senator Marie Alvarado-Gill on this weekend show, getting up to speed on state issues at the state capitol and their impact on the Motherlode region. Senator Alvarado-Gill, next thing I want to ask you about is J-59, a roadway in Tuolumne County that I know you've taken a look at and have some ideas for. What can you tell us about that?
So one of my top priorities in 2026 is ensure that we're responding to constituents' calls for road safety. And we know that with road safety, our rural economy can thrive. So the J-59 highway, we're looking to reclassify it. This is the LaGrange Road that runs from Merced, Stanislaus, and Tuolumne. We're looking to reclassify J-59 as a state Route 59. So what that will do, it's going to bring much-needed state funding and maintenance to this connector. This is a highway system that we use not only as a main thoroughfare through these three counties, but it's also an egress and ingress and egress for emergency services. So we have to make sure that this is a road that can help to prevent severe crashes and enhance our evacuation routes for wildfires.
You know, what are the types of things that would have to happen, the steps that take place for that to become a reality?
Yeah, so it is sticky. It's an uphill battle. It means that our three counties, the supervisors that represent those areas, have to work together and agree that this is the direction they want to go. And so far, we've crossed that threshold. The second thing we have to look at is what are some of the areas of repair and bringing up to code and bringing up to state code that are already in play, and when are we going to be able to complete that? So these are things that have already been approved by county budgets, and we want to look at implementing them as soon as possible. And then we have to work with Caltrans, and we're already doing that, working with our Caltrans director to see this as a benefit in their budget. Now, Caltrans has been one of those agencies that I've really loved working with as a state senator. I have 4 Caltrans districts throughout my district, so you can imagine that's a lot of road work. But this project in particular has shown some promise because we are all on the same page of wanting what's best to protect lives, to prevent severe crashes, and to ensure that we have those outlets for wildfire evacuation routes. That is so important for the Sierras, and we've seen the ramifications of not having those in existence. Pretty drastic.
So you're optimistic that this could happen?
I'm optimistic, but what it is, it's going to come down to money and resources. And you know, we're in a recession year. I know people won't say that word, but I mean, we heard the governor in a state of the state address, and he says over and over again, we're the 4th largest economy in the world, but we don't have money for basic road repairs and for, you know, basic programs to ensure that rural communities can stay afloat, like our hospitals, for example. So we're going to have to fight for this money. We're going to have to fight for these resources in rural communities just like we do every year. But I'm optimistic that I've been effective and respected in Sacramento, and we've seen that those resources come in other ways as well.
You mentioned hospitals, you know, rural health care. What are kind of the issues you're keeping an eye on there?
Yeah, so unfortunately, you know, we've seen a decline in specialty services in our rural hospitals. Some of our hospitals have been on the brink of closure, and we've had to work really diligently to keep their doors open. I know many of us have also seen the kind of clawback of maternity services, OBGYN, less births happening in the Sierra regions of California. And some of our hospitals have really struggled just to keep their doors open. So we did have a hospital, distressed hospital loan program that was rolled out last year. And I feel very fortunate that we had tens of millions of dollars come into my Senate district to help those distressed hospitals. And we're going to be working with them on some solutions for that loan repayment. Because again, you know, we don't want to burden them with further costs. And until we actually correct the way that government issues Medicaid and Medi-Cal, we're still going to see these distressed hospitals ask for funding from the state, because this is a formula that the cost of health care is far greater than the reimbursement that the state gives for actually doing that health care. And doctors are seeing, you know, an imbalance in their ability to stay afloat as well. So this is a big risk to the future of rural health care.
You know, getting into some other issues, one of the big matters that happened in your district a few months ago was the TCU September Lightning Complex fire, some major damage in the Chinese Camp area. What's your reaction to that fire, and is there anything the state can do to help with the process?
Well, I have a lot of love and respect for Tuolumne County's resources. They were on the ground right away, talking face-to-face with our constituents, helping them access resources. I was on the ground myself and got to see our sheriff in action and Supervisor Griefer, who represents that area, in action. And, you know, I just can't say enough of gratitude that I experienced that day. We are putting into place some legislation to help not only with these situations, but what we saw also in the Caldor fire. I mean, these are real-life examples of emergency services failing us in the rural areas. We were able to secure executive orders from the governor, specifically around Chinese Camp, so that they could qualify for state resources, which was a huge win, We could not have done that without the support of our county supervisor and our sheriff. But looking forward, I am putting forward some wildfire mitigation and loss programs. And one of these programs is to ensure that we have community wildfire protection plans that fund home hardening, that fund defensible space creation, vegetation management, all those things that we're already doing, but we're not seeing the benefit in terms of tax credits. So generator purchasing, I have a tax credit for that that I'm putting forward in 2026. Home hardening tax credits, these are all money back in the pockets of our constituents that are already paying to ensure that their properties are protected from wildfire.
I know a lot of local residents would like to hear about that and learn more. Are you getting much feedback from other lawmakers when you're bringing these matters up?
Well, it's early in the process. We are going to be putting together a package. I have some of my colleagues that are authoring legislation as well. I think here in the next few weeks or so, you'll hear something coming out in the press. I mean, we really want to promote this as a package so that our colleagues can get behind this. I'm also working with several of our caucuses that are bicameral and bipartisan. So, you know, wildfire safety, affordability is not a partisan issue. This is an everyday California issue. And so I'm feeling pretty confident that this is going to be the year that we're going to see some relief.
You know, another one of those local issues I know you've heard about and had a meeting in Murphy's about was the Murphy's Median project that Caltrans did. What was your reaction as a senator to seeing what happened there and just kind of the reaction of the community as well?
So this was one of the issues in Calaveras that, you know, rose to the top very quickly. Working with Caltrans, you know, I understand the intent of Caltrans to want to create safe roads and mitigate loss of life. I mean, we all want that. What happened in this situation was really a lack of communication and collaboration at the local level. And so our businesses and our residents, you know, did a great job of voicing their concerns, bringing their questions to our supervisor, Supervisor Huberty out there. And, you know, I'm one of those legislators that shares my cell phone number and works very closely with our local electeds. And, you know, he called me and let me know what the issue was. We quickly organized a town hall. We had, I believe it was over 50 residents come out and business owners and really trying to streamline, you know, how did we get here and what can we do to prevent this situation in the future? And this isn't only a Calaveras problem. I've seen this up and down state roads throughout the Sierras where Caltrans is, their intent is positive. They mean to address an issue that needs to be addressed, but it's the communication to businesses and it's the communication to residents that falls short. So I do have a bill that I'll be putting forward this year to elevate some of those best practices to ensure that Caltrans is working with our businesses and residents to not make decisions or press the go button before we fully vetted the impact of those decisions. So the Murphy's project is one of those examples that helped to raise this issue to the top and to encourage our office to draft some legislation to prevent this for the future.
Need to take one more break. We're talking to Senator Marie Alvarado-Gill on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we welcome you back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with Senator Marie Alvarado-Gill. She represents District 4 in the California Senate. She was first elected in 2022. Senator Alvarado-Gill, is there any other, you know, projects specific to the district that you're working on or looking at right now?
Well, I will tell you, most of the legislation that I move forward comes directly from ideas and concerns from the district. One of the things that I heard over and over again is the safety around our mountain passes. So we need that seasonal management, reliable management that opens those key mountain passes like Sonora Pass, SR 108 Tuolumne County, for example, Ebbets Pass, SR 4 near Calaveras County. Like, these are those critical connecting routes for our mountain communities. Now, they're also the main thoroughfares for our tourism and hospitality industry. So when Caltrans delays those closures, and we don't have reliability on when they're going to open, it really hurts local businesses. So I'm moving forward a piece of legislation that asks for Caltrans to give us an opportunity to open these passes by Mother's Day. Mother's Day in May will give us an opportunity for people to plan, for us to staff our businesses, for us to promote the opening of these businesses, and to have real reliability around that economic driver, which are these mountain passes. Now, we all understand that we can't control the weather, Mother Nature. We are at the mercy of Mother Nature. However, there are things that we can do at the state level. Make sure that our equipment is working. Make sure that we're fully staffed. Make sure that we have a plan to roll out any type of response to weather to ensure that we can maximize opening these passes. And so I think this is something that's going to help us not only in the Sierras, but on the other side of the Yosemite Valley to ensure that those who are traveling 395 can come over from Mono and Inyo as well over to our side.
Yeah, it seems like we get a lot of visitors to the Tuolumne Calaveras area, especially around Mother's Day, the Mother's Load Roundup in Sonora, Calaveras County Fair and Jumping Frog Jubilee taking place around that time, too. So it seems like there's a lot of extra travelers and tourists who may just like to travel a little further and go over those passes.
That's right. And, you know, our small businesses and towns and fairs, our fair boards, they are doing their part to create attractive events and opportunities for people to travel from all over the world to our region. The least that we can do is ensure that our roads are ready to receive them and that our businesses have the reliability and the notice so that they can fill their shelves, you know, stock the food, refrigerators, get their menus sparked up and have the employees ready to go. So, you know, that's one of the things that we know will spark economic drivers, and we want to support that.
You know, another issue I know that you've talked about in the past is concerns in relation to the wine grape industry and trends that you're noticing. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we came back to session just this last month, but as you know, we're out of session for about 3 months during the prime harvest season of the agricultural sector here in California. I do serve as the vice chair of agriculture, so I do get to see a lot of the bills that come through around water, around food production. And what I was hearing from our wine industry is that we have hit now the second year of wine grape growing that has been less than profitable, whether it is lack of buyers or it is changes in water policy. I mean, we saw a really hard hit. So I did have a series of town halls across the district where we sat down with vintners, wine producers, grape growers, and tried to mitigate what are some of the areas that we can help. We know that there is a difference in consumption, and we also know that our wine region has to compete with international wine regions. So if we are continuing to import cheaper bulk wines from out of California, and we're doing a disservice to our local wines here. So trying to change the pattern of how we see our local agricultural market and support that here at the state level.
Another issue we haven't gone into too much on today's show is the state budget. It was alluded to a little bit earlier on, but what's your observations about the budget, the deficit, and things that are going to have to happen over the coming weeks and months?
Well, I was there when the governor gave his State of the State speech, and I'll tell you, it was a difficult speech to sit through. I think that instead of him talking directly about some of the urgent state needs, you know, he's really good at talking. His speeches are great, and I think that's what a lot of Californians like about him, is that when he talks, he's really good at that. And you know, he does give us promises, but I'm looking at the results. Like, if you're promising to end homelessness and you're saying that our numbers are going down, well, show me the results that backs up that statistic, right? I mean, Californians, we want practical results-driven governance. We don't want the speeches. We don't want, you know, the lip service. We want to see that our neighborhoods are getting cleaned up. We want to see that people that are struggling with homelessness and drug addiction are getting the help that they need. And they want to see that the tax dollars that are coming out of their paychecks and that their businesses are paying, they want to see those tax dollars at work to protect Americans and to give them the resources that they need, because people are struggling. Affordability is the number one issue that's polling in number one, number two, and number three across all the polls in 2026. So the least that we can do is we can talk about how we are going to make life more affordable for everyday Californians, bring these big ideas down to the ground level so that we can implement them, so everyday families are seeing the relief in their pocketbook, the relief on their energy bills every month, the relief on their insurance monthly premiums, and ultimately the relief at the grocery store and at the gas pump.
Are you hearing much in regards to CEQA reforms of the state capitol when it comes to home building?
I have heard about it. I've heard some rumblings. We have seen some failures in Southern California in terms of the post-building after the Southern California fires. I think that that is a big area of failure in government that is very hard to talk about for us because, I mean, I focus on rural north and east side of California, but, you know, my colleagues are really working hard to ensure that their constituents in Southern California that lost their businesses and their homes are able to rebuild, and we're just not seeing the promises kept on permitting and CEQA reform so that people can rebuild. I mean, it is very difficult to drive those streets in Altadena and Palisades and to see lots still burned to the ground and people's homes gone, lives displaced, and Californians kind of picking up and leaving once and for all because those promises to rebuild and get those permits expedited had just not come to fruition.
You talked earlier about a number of the bills that you're looking at and proposals, and a lot of them were directly in relation to issues in the district that you've been hearing about. You know, being a state senator, there's endless things that you could propose and try to move forward. How do you work to kind of put together your platform and the things that you want to accomplish each year?
Well, I have to give a lot of props and shout-outs to my team. I work with an amazing group of professionals that bring expertise from all different areas, water, fire, budget, management, agriculture. I mean, they're experts in their field. And so taking what complaints, concerns, questions come from the district, bringing them to my team, saying, how do we solve this problem? What's been attempted in the past? What is it going to cost us? And do we have the support to move forward? So we have a bill package that's going to be promoted here in the next few weeks. I think our constituents are going to see their stamp of approval on it. They're going to see their voice in our bill package and how we vote across the floor. One bill particular that I just wanted to put on your radar, Leo's Law. This is very near and dear to my heart and came from a constituent out in Amador County who lost his young son to fentanyl. And this is one of those epidemics that we should never be losing Californians. We should never be losing life to fentanyl. This is a drug that we know is, you know, 100 times more deadly than any of the drugs that are already regulated. Yet fentanyl continues to cross our borders in mass amounts, and there's a fraction of a gram of a milligram that can kill. And so we want to make sure that those who have lost loved ones to fentanyl know that we're fighting for them, and Leo's Law is going to bring that issue to the forefront. So I'm looking forward to talking about that one more.
Well, Senator Alvarado Gill, we've run out of time on today's show. Thank you so much for coming on, and come back in the future and keep filling us in on more state issues.
Great. Thank you, BJ. Thank you for all you do and for keeping the voice of the Sierras alive.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.